Turn to Luke chapter 5 this morning. Luke chapter 5. Down near the end of the chapter. Luke chapter 5. Going to go all the way down to verse 36. I saw something in this passage I'd never seen before here fairly recently. Luke chapter 5, verse 36. Says there, and he spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. No man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new. For he saith, the old is better. Let's bow our heads there and pray. Now, Father, we come to you this morning, and this is not a new parable to us. I imagine that most folks have a pretty good idea of the nature of it and where it leads and what should be the end of it. We're glad, Father, for that understanding. We pray that you might help us take some admonition this morning. Maybe it flows kind of well with what we said in Sunday school, maybe. Father, I pray that you'll bless. If there's somebody here that's never trusted Christ, pray you'll deal with their heart about that need. And Father, I just pray you'd make plain all that's said here this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty, Luke 5. Now, new cloth, new garment, and new wine and new bottles. That's part of this parable, of course, that you're very well aware of. The parable, by the way, is repeated in Matthew 9 and Mark chapter 2. So, commonly repeated one. The Pharisees and scribes have been asking why Christ ate with publicans and sinners. And he'd asked why, for instance, Christ's disciples didn't seem to fast as often as John's. And so there was this explanation given. Now, really what happens here is the Lord Jesus Christ throws down the gauntlet on these guys as far as his goals for his ministry and his work. I think you probably know that Jesus Christ did not come to revamp and renovate and reform the Old Testament law. He did not come to reemphasize and improve upon the Mosaic covenant or anything like that. His work was a fulfillment of the Old Testament. That's true. And he was the complete fulfillment of those things, but he didn't come to add more chapters to the Old Testament. He didn't come to add new details to the Mosaic covenant. That's where the new patch on the new garment and the new wine in the new bottles comes in. He came to make something new and put it in something new. And so that's the idea of the New Testament. Jesus Christ did not come to redo and put a patch on something. So I know you understand that, that what he did was something entirely unprecedented in that when the Lord decided to send his Son through the womb of the Virgin Mary, what that accomplished was a man who was born God manifest in the flesh. And so when he went to the cross and died for our sins, he shed God's blood on the cross, which was an unprecedented thing. Nobody else has ever had God's blood running through their veins. And so nobody else and nothing else could ever be a sufficient sacrifice, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, but Jesus Christ. So when he died on the cross for our sins, that was God manifest in the flesh, dying on the cross for our sins. And when you got saved, he made it possible for you to be delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. The Bible says there that he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He died was buried and resurrected from the dead. And that accomplished something that had never been accomplished before. You can now have a new birth out of a New Testament. It requires the death of the testator to make a testament. It's not a new covenant. It's a New Testament. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This was, Jesus Christ did not come to renovate the Old Testament. He came to fulfill it and make something new. And so now, if you're saved, you're a new creature in Jesus Christ. I just want to say, as we're going on to something else, that salvation by any other method is a pipe dream. It is the absolute stupidest and worst gamble anybody could ever take because it's a guaranteed loser. Salvation by any other method than through faith in the blood of the Son of God is an absolute, ridiculous, wasteful gamble. You are not going to win. So that said, those are the lessons taught by the new patch on the new garment, the new wine in the new bottles. And I know that's true. You know that's true, I think. But I had never, there was something I had not paid attention to, and I hadn't noticed it. It's unique to this passage. Again, it's not in Matthew 9. It's not in Mark 2. The last verse of the chapter, verse 39, adds, "No man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth new. For he saith, the old is better." Now, I know that one meaning of that is that, okay, it's going to have the Old Testament people, the Pharisees and scribes, the Old Testament Jews are going to have a hard time making transition to the New Testament because after all, they've tasted the old and they will naturally think that the old is better. The Jews still think the old is better. The Jews still do not acknowledge that the new is legitimate. The old is better, right? I know there's that. But I think there's something more as well. The title of this message is, "No man straightway desireth the new." And having established that this is about starting something new as far as salvation is concerned, I believe that there's also a statement here for Christians. And that's what I addressed this morning. Verse 39, I seem to have a frog in my throat again. "No man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth new, for he saith, the old is better." Now, let me just begin with the first thing. I need to make sure that you understand the parts being played here. Okay, this is a parable back in verse 36, so make sure we understand who's who here. Okay, first of all, the Lord was not interested in renovating the Old Testament. He made something new. That much is set in stone, that's established. But this verse in verse 39, I believe, can apply to Christians. In fact, so much so that I think that probably when the judgment seat of Christ manifests the failures of many folks who were genuinely saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, I think what's going to be found is this element that we're going to talk about as the cause here this morning. So put your thinking caps on here for a second, because we're talking about after you're saved now. After you're saved, "No man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth new, for he saith the old is better." Now notice in verse, boy, I almost had a juvenile thing happen there. Maybe I'm going through that again. You never know. All right, verse 36, and notice a commonality here. Okay, notice, no man putteth a piece of new garment upon an old. Notice in verse 37. No man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles, be spilled, the bottles shall perish. No man, no man. No man that's a tailor is going to put new cloth over an old garment. I'm not talking about just a two-day-old garment that got a rip. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if the garment is old enough to start to be threadbare, you don't take new cloth to put as a patch over the old garment because it's just going to tear away and make the hole bigger. No tailor, he says, would do that. And no winemaker would ever make the mistake of putting new wine in old bottles. No tailor, no winemaker. But wait. Isn't that what God did with you? You're born again, right? What does that mean? It means that you have your dead spirit reborn. And with confidence, you also have the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, living in your body. Your soul was washed in the blood of Christ, and there's a part of you that's now seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we've taken care of the soul and the spirit. What about that body? No man would put new cloth on an old garment. No man would put new wine in an old bottle. But isn't that what God did? Isn't your body the temple of the Holy Ghost? Yes, it is. What changed with your body the day you got saved? Nothing. Nothing at all. It says no man would do it, but apparently that's what God did. We still await the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. In fact, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 4 tells us and teaches us how we should possess our vessel, this old body, in sanctification and honor. I read in 2 Timothy chapter 2 that I'm supposed to take this vessel and be careful about other vessels I allow it to be close to, because if I will separate myself from unworthy vessels, I can be a vessel of honor. But then I could also be a vessel of dishonor if I misuse and abuse, right? Don't we have this treasure in earthen vessels? Yes, we do. Brother Stevens, the Bible says that no man that was a tailor would do a patch that way. The Bible says that no man that was a winemaker would do his wine that way. But apparently, that's what God did. So I should remind you that God is not a man. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Now, I'll touch that a minute later. Notice the effect of this real quick, and then we'll go on. Just hold the thought. Hold the thought that the Bible says no man would, but apparently that is exactly what God did, and I have doctrinal confidence in that. Okay? Verse 36, notice what happens. No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old, if otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, so there is a tear, it's rended, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. Now remember, for the future reference, agreeing not. When you got saved, you started reading a Bible that didn't agree with your opinions that you already held. That's fair, right? But go on, verse 37. No man putteth new wine into old bottles. Else the new wine would burst the bottles, it'd be spilled, the bottles shall perish. And the reason that works that way, if you read commentaries, it's one thing is that the old bottles, the old quote-unquote wineskins, get old and kind of brittle. But there's also the fact that after wine has cured in the old wineskin, you pour that wine out, and then you put new wine in. Well, new wine is found in the cluster, right? It's grape juice. But there are still what they call tannins. It's like residue in the old, on the old wineskin inside. And so what that those tannins do is then force the new wine into fermentation, and it changes the nature of it, and then the bottles burst. That's why it works like that. There's a residue. There's a tannin. So with that said, it says that no man would do that. But God apparently did. Isn't that exactly what He did for you? Didn't He put a new birth, a new spirit in an old body? That is exactly what He did. Now notice in verse 39. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new, for he saith, the old is better. Now, keep your finger in Luke 5. Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I've already quoted it this morning. You could quote it, I'm sure. I've dealt with the parts played. You now know that no man would, but apparently God did. And your body is the old bottle. And the Holy Spirit and your newborn spirit is that which is new that's put in. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Okay. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I believe that when I got saved, I was made anew. I think that God gave me a new birth. That's verified in the Scriptures. A new spirit was put in me. He gave me a new birth. I am now seated in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. He made possible for me to be delivered from the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. I mean, folks, the day you got saved, in God's sight anyway, life began anew. The Bible says that when you got saved, you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified. Okay? That stuff's done. It's a done deal. Your record is clear. Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are redeemed. Your sins are gone. It is a remarkable thing when you stop and think about that. Circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ, those things are indeed done deals. A lot of folks have experienced tremendous, transformations. There are testimonies here. You are a different person than the day you got saved. Think about Paul. Compelling men to blaspheme, tormenting and torturing men's wives and children to get them to recant of their faith in Christ, turned completely around after being born again. Became the apostle to the Gentiles, right? Here is, David Spurgeon, we talked about this morning. Here's David Spurgeon. God found him in jail. Should have spent the rest of his life in prison. Got saved, didn't stay in prison. Got out. He's a preacher now. He's been profitable for all of us here. Here is a real killer. If you're a Confederate or a Civil War buff, a Confederate war general named Nathan Bedford Forrest. This guy was a killer. If you know any Civil War history, you know that the Fort Pillow Massacre was attributed to him, where Union soldiers were trying to surrender and Nathan Bedford Forrest, whether at his orders or not, nobody's sure now, but those Confederate soldiers gunned those Union soldiers down. Forever, Nathan Bedford Forrest's name will be dragged through that mud, and maybe rightfully so, except for the fact that he was born again after the war. When one of his old soldiers ran into him one day in town, he asked him to go into the bar with him for a drink. He said, you don't understand. I am not the same man that commanded cavalry in the Civil War. He said, I've been born again and would not go in. Here is here's a guy named Mitsu Fuchido. Most of you may not know who that is. That is the guy. That is the Japanese suicide bomber that led the attack on Pearl Harbor. After the war, he came to the U.S. and by some machinations the Lord arranged, he wound up at a Billy Graham crusade and got saved and spent the rest of his life preaching the gospel. These are remarkable stories. And a lot of you have remarkable stories. But there is something that's off-putting for a new Christian. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I had things change in my life. But I have to admit, there are some things that lingered. If you're saved, how many of you can say, I know I'm saved, but I still struggle with things that were in the old life? Well, right? Well, that can be a little off-putting. After all, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. See, there's a presumption. That's what I'm talking about now. I'm talking about a presumption that people make. And they presume that when they get saved, that everything was made new. New spirit, new birth, new start every day in life. Except for what problem? Aren't you still in your old body? What changed with your vessel the day you got saved? You had a new inhabitant, I know that. But as far as what changed with this vessel when you got saved? I've been saved for 44 years. And I got saved at 10, which means I was pretty young, pretty naive, and pretty clean by most people's standards. Nothing changed in the body. And I've still got tannins and residues that give me a fit. You see, we talked about Paul and the remarkable turnaround, but this is the man, by the way, that said, that which I would not, that I do. And that which I would do, that do I not. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Right? Here is Galatians chapter 5. Just take your Bible, keep your finger in Luke 5 there for a second, but Galatians 5, just, I know you can cite this verse. Galatians 5, 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. So here I have a statement in Luke 5. No man would do this with a garment. No man would do this with wine. But God did it with you. Don't worry. He'll fix it. But in the meantime, here you sit. You still got the same bottle with new wine in it. And it causes problems. You see, let me explain the problem. I've explained the parts played. I've described the presumption. So let me describe the problem preference. If you didn't notice yet, my sermon is alliterative today. It's all P's. I love it when a plan comes together. The parts played, the presumption. Then there's a problem preference. That is verse 39. No man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth new. For he saith, the old is better. The problem is your acquired prejudices. There's another P word. Did you notice? The problem is your accustomed tastes. The problem is your experience. The problem is your habitual likes and dislikes. The problem is your familiarity. You have tasted the old wine. You're prejudiced. And you don't want to try the new. Why? Because you like the old. You like it. I don't know why some people like some things. Probably because they were reared with it, I suppose. There are people that will bust a gut to get caviar. I couldn't care any less. In fact, I'd opt for an onion ring. I ain't interested in caviar. Balut? No, thank you. I don't understand eating stinky food. Part of your taste experience is smelling. So when something stinks, I ain't interested in tasting it. I don't understand those things. Now, there are probably things that I eat that you probably wouldn't get. For instance, given a choice, I'll take unsalted roasted peanuts any day. We were raised on unsalted roasted peanuts. My dad would, we were peanut farmers, I'd rather have them raw. Dad would take them, roast them, but they never had salt on them. So I can eat unsalted roasted peanuts all day long, and I'll be this big, but I could eat them all day long. And okay, Miracle Whip and crackers. I like it. I heard of somebody that dips their French fries in mayonnaise. That grosses me out. But Miracle Whip and crackers? Yeah. I know. You say, I don't understand. Well, part of it's what you grew up with. Part of it's what you've grown accustomed to. That's true. But there's more to it. It goes beyond preference. Verse 39, no man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth the new, for he saith the old is better. No, goes deeper than that, because just like there are tannins, residues in those old bottles, there's a sin nature in this old flesh. And left to itself, it'll ruin the new wine put in. I'll give you a verse. Please keep Luke 5 in hand. Look in Romans 1. Romans 1. This is the reason why liking something is no excuse. Romans chapter 1, verse 28. In a long passage regarding these things, in a long down spiral of a passage, verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they would rather think about something else. I don't like it by nature. So God turned them over to a reprobate mind. See, that dwells in that old bottle. That's part of the residue. That's part of the tannin in that old bottle. Paul said, that which I would not, that I do. And that which I would do, that do I not. You know, left to yourself, you return to nature. Fifi dog, she just came back from the vet, from the groomer. She has a little red bow around her neck. She is perfectly coughed and shorn, and all of her little poodle features are just perfect and clean. And while you're away, she pukes on the floor. She'll eat it. You know why?
she's a dog.
My dog can get his bath because he gets nasty. There's a reason he gets nasty, because after he takes a bath, he goes outside and finds the stinkiest thing he can find and rolls over in it. The dog. And that's the reason why. See, folks, the Lord took the old vessel. Now, no man would, but the Lord is not a man. And He did. Took the old vessel, poured into it new wine. The Spirit of God, a reborn spirit, the Word of God, you're a new man, Christ liveth in me, all those things. Meanwhile, the residues of the old nature are there. All those good new things, that new wine. Meanwhile, you have likes and dislikes. You have habits. You have preferences. Oh, hey, here's something really sanctified. You have favorites. Oh, that's my favorite. Better be careful. That thing that's your favorite, if you yield to that, will ruin the new that He put in you. See, it's a problem that we have. The problem is our preferences. Those preferences can overwhelm the new. If I've already talked bad about modern Christianity this morning, but I'll just say one more thing. That's the problem with mainstream Christianity. It goes beyond all the other things that you name. As far as I can see, what it is that the Lord took this new wine, poured it into this old bottle, this old vessel, and because nobody did anything to thwart the residues and tannins in the old vessel, those residues and tannins have basically transformed the new wine into something disgusting. And so now you have churches built on rock bands, bingo, and the flesh. Roman Catholicism, that's what she is in history. She is a form, quote-unquote, of Christianity that has allowed all the pagan heathen influences in as residue to transform her doctrine into something that God hates. And she is now a great whore, according to Revelation 17. Okay, so I've got, now you know the parts, and there's this presumption. The presumption, if you're naive, is, well, everything's new, so everything that I want, everything that I like, I should yield to, because all things are new. So it's not just a new spirit, it's not just a Bible, it's not just a New Testament, but whatever I want and like goes. The problem is, what you want and like and prefer is still residue out of an old bottle. You see what I'm saying? It says there in verse 39, once again, it says, no man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth new. It's just not natural for you to straightway desire the new. You're probably not even going to like the new at first, because the old is better. You've tasted that. You had favorites. You enjoyed that. That was fun. And the Lord took that new wine and poured it into that old bottle. He said, no man would. Yeah, but the Lord did. Didn't He? Yes, He did. I'll answer my own question. Yes, He did. Okay. So, here's the predicament. Notice the P word. Part, presumption, preference, predicament. I like it. Verse 36. Spake also a parable. No man putteth a piece of new garment into an old, if otherwise then both the new maketh a rent. Because of that happening, there might be a rent in the old garment. Because the old garment, the new, in verse 36, agreeth not with the old. You got saved. You started reading the Bible. You started going to church. One day, the preachers, it's easy when you're reading the Bible to skip the parts you don't like. Boy, you go to church and the guy's got a red face and he's screaming at you. And he starts saying things that you don't like. Why? I don't agree! And so, because you don't agree, something bad happens. This is transferred down in verse 37. No man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled. The bottles perish. Well, let me ask you a question. I know that anybody that gets saved is saved, so I'm not even addressing that. But you know people that got saved, got in, fought the fight for a period of time, weeks, months, or years, and now, if they stay where they are, they're going to die. They're going to die saved. But they don't agree with the Word of God anymore. They don't agree with the life the Lord wants them to live. And so one day, they're going to die, and while their soul will be saved, a lot of God's investment of what He put into that vessel will be spilled and wasted. And now the bottle perishes and it's dead. And yeah, the guy goes to heaven. But there was a lot more of the glory of God that was to be had. But it wasn't had. It was spilled. It was wasted. Yeah. Quite a predicament. That's quite a thing for the Lord to do with us what He's doing. No man would do it. A winemaker wouldn't do it. A tailor wouldn't do it, but the Lord did it. He's not a man. He puts new wine into an old bottle. Now, the Lord had a choice, I suppose, because He could have taken the old bottle out of service when you got saved and took you to heaven, done deal. And there's no battle for you to fight. That's not how He did it. Now, that's how you would do it, and that's how you would have it done to you. If I could have just gone to heaven the day I got saved, I wouldn't have these battles and these troubles and reaping these crops and all that kind of stuff. That's not how He did it, though. No, He put the new wine into an old bottle. So, is it fair to say that if the Lord has expectations then, out of what should be born out of that, isn't it fair to assume that He would have a solution to the problem of you having this new wine in this residue-filled old body where sin still dwells in your members? Isn't it fair to say that the Lord must have given us some means, some measure, some way of addressing this really major problem? Right? And the answer is yes, He did. There is another persuasion, a purer persuasion. Verse 39, I'm almost done. Just hang in there. Don't put your Bibles up yet. No man, also having drunk old wine, straightway desireth anew. That's your problem. When you got saved, you already had a taste for the world. You had already experienced some of the pleasures of the flesh. And there are things about your old life that you just like. And what the Lord offers doesn't even sound good, because you've already tasted the old wine. It's nice to be saved, but I haven't developed a taste for the new wine. I know a lot of Christians that have no taste for the Bible at all. You know, they just don't. They would much rather read something else if they read anything at all. And they would much rather hear something else than preaching. Okay, well, that's the issue. But there's another persuasion, and it says that no man straightway desireth the new. No man right away does. Isn't that the story of your conversion and your life since? That you got saved and you were probably delivered from some things, right? And there are probably things maybe from the old life you don't desire anymore. But the fact of the matter is, there's quite a bit of that that you still struggle with. Can anybody say that's true of me? Why? Because you like it. Because you like it. No man immediately, straightway, right away, desireth the new. It's not the same word, but I would dare say no man by nature desires the new. You would like to stick with a lot of what you got you in trouble. No man straightway desireth the new. Everybody prays and they want the Lord to take away the desire for the old. Right? Haven't you ever prayed that? I have. Lord, please take away this temper. Lord, please take away this particular temptation that keeps rearing its head. Now, I ask you a question. Did he? I know of occasions where he has. I would say that in some occasions in my own flesh he has. But he certainly hasn't. Praying a magic prayer, Lord, help me not to lust anymore, has never worked for me. Here he's left you here in this old bottle, these tannins, these residues. What are you supposed to do? Two steps. A few verses. Take your Bibles. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. I'm going to be done here in a second. But let me just encourage you. Everybody that's ever been saved has struggled with this stuff. Your tendency is for you to think that you're an anomaly. If you're not careful, you'll wonder if you're even saved. Because you read, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. If anybody's been saved, they're a new creature. Everything's new. Then you wake up the next morning, and there are some things that are still old there. I can tell you the reason why is because the Lord left you in the old bottle. He didn't change the bottle at all. And said no man would do that, but God did. So what am I supposed to do? Well, here's what you're supposed to do. Romans chapter 6. You've heard it before. If you're in our church, you've read it before. You've heard it preached before. I'm telling you, if you won't do this, you will gain no practical victory in these things at all. If you don't do this, you are rejecting what God said to do to get victory in the old bottle. Romans chapter 6, verse 9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Great, that's our victory, right? Likewise, reckon. I don't do this often. Say it. Likewise, say it. Reckon. Yeah, really, say it. Likewise, repeat after me. Likewise, reckon yourselves, or reckon ye also yourselves, to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God, through Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not, it's your responsibility, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that ye should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Reckon, let not sin reign, yield. There's another passage along this line, Galatians 5. Galatians 5. This is the Paul now that said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who will deliver me from this vessel? Well, he has been delivered. But he got some victories in that vessel before he died. Galatians chapter 5, and go down to verse 24. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh, there's the vessel, with the affections and lusts. Reckon ye, yield, let not sin reign, crucify the flesh, for we, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Look in Colossians 3. Colossians 3. There are multiple other verses, but I won't trouble you with many more now that you see where this is going. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. No man would, but God did. He left you in an old vessel. What do I do? Two-part solution. Reckon, and yield. Put it off and put it on. The second thing, take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 1. Now remember what's said in Luke 5. It says, no man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth new. The most natural thing in the world is for a saved person to not desire all the changes that God would make. After all, he's tasted the old. He likes part of the old. He has favorites amongst the old. The most natural thing in the world is for a Christian not to necessarily desire all the new life the Lord would have for him. That's probably where I differ from some preachers, because they would say, oh no, a Christian would naturally desire. I've been saved for 44 years. I have some sense of what a Christian naturally desires. And the bitter fact is, you're left in this old vessel, and the bitter fact is that a lot of times you don't desire the new at all. No man straightway desireth the new. So, what do you do? Well, you reckon it dead. You put it off. You yield unto righteousness. You put the new man on. Then there's this. Psalm 1. And I didn't get there in front of you, sorry. Psalm 1. You can quote it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his, say it, delight. Yeah, his delight is in the law of the Lord. You don't desire the other. Okay, so put off the old desires. And whether you want to or not, learn to delight in the Word of God. Learn to delight in what God tells you you should delight in. You say, that doesn't make sense. If He's telling me what to delight in, then I won't naturally delight it. Delight in it. Tough patooties. Do you want victory over the old vessel or don't you? If you do, then reckon and yield it to righteousness. Put off the old man, put on the new. And learn to desire and delight in what God intends you to. You say, that's impossible. I don't think so. Look in one more passage, then we'll be done, all right? Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Whether you want to or not, if you will delight in the Word of God and give God time to change your tastes, you too can enjoy reading the Bible. You too can enjoy a preacher standing up and scalding your hide, believe it or not. I'm living proof of it. I'm not suggesting for a moment that I've gotten victory in it all. You know, I grew up in Texas. I grew up on country and western music. I never heard anything but country and western music. By the time I got to high school, I started hearing some rock and roll. By the time I got to college, I was a convert from country and western to rock and roll. Then I got right with God. Was saved 10 years with bad music. Then I got right with God. And you know, my wife and Joseph were gone for 2 weeks this month. In fact, they didn't have to be gone. Because I get in the truck, the car, every single day and go somewhere to do something. You know, it's funny. I never turn to a rock and roll station or a country and western station. It's not even a temptation. Because I decided to like what God said I should. I grew up, both my parents smoked. Just about everybody that I knew that was an adult smoked one thing or other. My wife and son were gone for 2 weeks this month. It wouldn't have been hard for me to sneak the cigar or to sneak the cigarettes. And they would have never known because I would have had sense enough to smoke outside. It never even crossed the radar. Never did. I'm not suggesting for a moment that I'm perfect because there were other things that crossed the radar that I said no to. So I'm not presenting this as all the way across the board, and you can think of other things, I'm sure. I got to college, and maybe I shouldn't even say it, but I guzzled beer. It was my roommate's fault. He found I could drink it fast, and so he won money with me in beer-chugging contests. I don't glory in it. My wife and son were gone 2 weeks this month. I was home alone. And I could have found some place to buy beer where they don't know me. Never even crossed the radar. I'm telling you now, I'm telling you up front that I have sins that I struggle with. The truth is, the reason I struggle with them is because I like them. I need to change some things, right? But that's the key. No man straightway desireth anew. The most natural thing in the world for you to do is to cling to the sins, the tastes, the preferences of the old life. And you can blame the Lord if you want. It's His fault. He left me in this old vessel. Or you can do it His way. He left you here with a game plan. Put it off. Yield it. Reckon yourselves to be dead. And then grow to delight in what the Lord delights in. You say, but I don't naturally like it. Most people don't naturally like some of the music that I like, but the Lord likes it. And so I changed my preferences. You want to know how to change your life in that regard? Put off the old. Put on the new. It's true. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, now, not the slightest desire to dishonor you this morning by making it appear in anybody's ears that we're blaming you for our faults and failures. We do find here that it was part of your will and plan for the time that we're left here in this life to be left in the old bottles, the old vessels, the old wineskins, in which dwells the old nature, the old residues, the old tannins. Father, if we take all that you've done for us and allow that old nature to work unhindered on the things that you put in us anew, we will waste our lives. Still be saved, but we'll waste the grace, the mercy, and your investment in us. I pray, Lord, that you might give us a little higher vision than that. I pray you might help us see that this is a formula for victory. We are to crucify the old man with the affections and lusts. And we're to turn our hearts unto thee and delight in the things that you delight in. And eventually those things become more palatable to our tastes. And we grow to love it. I pray, Father, you'd help young people here this morning to set their hearts on this very thing. And those of us that are old and wizened, been saved a long time in my case, I pray that you'd have mercy on us. Help us to labor set aside the old man with the affections and lusts and acquire the tastes that you would have us have. Let's remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed here for a minute. Offer you an invitation to come if the Lord's dealt with you this morning out of this. No man straightway desireth the new. A good church, new friends, helps. There will be some things that appeal to you. You may like the preaching. You may like living clean as opposed to living dirty. Parts of it anyway. There will always and invariably be some part of the old life, some characteristic of the flesh, the part that kept you damned, that will be difficult ground to take because you like it. You like your independence. You like not being told what to do. You like solving your own problems. You like being Mr. Fix-It. You like the taste of it. You like the smell of it. If you're not careful and you yield to those residues, it can ruin your vessel and all of God's grace and all of God's mercy and all the effort God's poured into you can be spilt. I don't say you can be lost again. But as far as the work, as far as the ministry, it can be spilt and wasted. Let's look this way and sing number 323.
Thank you.
back tonight at 5:30 for a prayer meeting, if you can be here for that. Otherwise, 6 o'clock. I did forget to mention, this is the Hazard's last day with us for a while. I haven't forgotten him. I wanted to give him a chance just to rest up. Otherwise, I would have made him preach. But I know they needed the rest and the fellowship. And they're going up to stay with his parents for a while. I know that they'll be back down for the wedding, but for the most part, they're going to be gone now after this from our place for quite some time into the fall. So we'll get to hear from him more a little bit later in the fall. But I wanted to give him some rest here before he got back on the road. So that's the reason he hasn't been asked to preach or anything at this point. He agreed it was best. He didn't want to preach here anyway. So. Okay, I appreciate y'all being here this morning. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Brother Darling, Dave, would you pray for us?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for what we heard this morning. Just pray, help us to